How do you feel about strangers? People, as you're driving by and you see walking down the street, do you think about what maybe is on their mind? What just has happened in their life? Who they are? What they're about? Or how about when you're out shopping and you're walking hurriedly to get to this place or do this, and you kind of feel this person bump into you and you wonder, what's the matter with you? Or could you think, I wonder what's going on in that person's life, that like Randy Yoder stumbled because he hurt and didn't mean to bump into someone. Genesis 18. Put that in your mind. Because I'd like you to go home and sometime today, before you go to bed, read all of Genesis 18. I didn't have it read this morning because I wanted to bring it out in a different kind of way. I wanted you to hear what's going on with Abraham. Three strangers are standing near to the opening of his tent. He was, like them, a nomad. He had set up his tent. He had claimed a space. Now get this, he didn't walk out, he didn't look around the corner of the flap of his tent, he straight out walked toward these three strangers and addressed them and welcomed them. Now even this is shocking. He bent down and said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant." What do you hear in these words? I hear one who sees God in the person whom they are greeting. A question. Have you ever received a message from God through a stranger? Or maybe, have you ever missed a message from God through a stranger? Well, Abraham heard the message. It didn't come to him right away. Let's go on and open this up a bit more. He didn't know who these people were. They were complete strangers. He did not know whether they were people that meant harm for him. But in his time, the custom of his people, the expectation of his people, that they would not begin with the supposition that this was somebody dangerous. No. They were to begin with the supposition that these were my guests, to be welcomed into my private space, to spend some time with. Does that sound like hospitality? Jan did a good job. The surprises were some of the radical elements. Let's go on and hear more of this story, for it has some very radical elements in it. Let's hear some of that story again. Abraham ordered, and I assume it was a house helper, a servant of some kind. He said, "Go get some water and bring that water that I might have the feet washed of these strangers who had walked many miles, whose feet were tired and dirty and probably scraped by stones that felt, if they had sandals on, that, you know how it is? Sand and stones getting up under your feet. They were travelers walking from a far place. They were in need of rest. They probably did not stop expecting anything. They simply were stopping to catch their breath. Are any hikers among you? You know how it is when you need to stop. Take a sip of water, a sip of coffee, get your breath." But we still haven't gotten to the radical hospitality. Here it comes. Hold on, folks. It is dramatic. Abraham offered, "Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves." And Abraham, he didn't just meander on in the house. He hastened into the tent and said to Sarah, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Now, I wonder how Sarah felt about that kind of instruction. On the spot, make cakes, knead it. You know what it's like to make bread? Where you have to knead it? But Abraham's in a hurry. He hastened. Let's get it done. Let's get it ready for these people. Then, did Abraham stand and watch and make sure it was happening okay? No. He intended that it would be all right. He ran out of his tent and he ran to the herd keeper, at least that's what I assume the person was, and chose a young calf that he had prepared and set it before these strangers. And here is even the lasting touch of radical hospitality. He stood by them while they ate. Do you know what I hear in those words? I hear presence. I hear a presence of thoughtfulness, of kindness. I hear a willingness to get involved in complete strangers' lives. Can you, can I imagine ourselves treating a stranger in such a manner? We're more likely to beep a horn or to lock our doors or to outrace the one who's trying to get in front of us so that we have our spot. But you know what? These strangers were messengers from God. As they had been graced, they offered the gift of grace to Abraham. Good news, Abraham. I will surely return to you, said one of the persons, in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. Now that was a real radical statement, because Abraham and Sarah had become old. They were beyond child-rearing days. They were grieving deeply that which they did not have, which gave them status in their society and brought comfort to them in their old age. But it was a stranger who was the carrier of the voice of God about how they were to be blessed. Last Sunday, it wasn't a stranger, but certainly an act of radical hospitality that brought to you the voice of God's grace. It came to you through worship and through singing. It came to you through the voice of Kim as your board chair to each one of you. And you began to stand as we recognize the many ways you're involved in ministry. And you couldn't see it, but I could see it. She was only about a third, maybe a halfway through her list, and everyone was standing. And she kept on going, which meant there were multiple ways in which you as individuals and as the body of Christ in this place and from this place are involved in ministry. But it didn't stop there, did it? You had a meal and you did not prepare the meal. The meal was brought to you as an expression of gratitude. But now we get radical. Kim walked around to each table and brought to you a choice. It was either Starbucks or Baskin Robbins. God is a gracious God. In fact, he does not want any of his children left out. Today's scripture brought home to me some of the drama that is the reality of our life today. Jesus came in the world to unify the Jewish set-apart people with the Gentiles. And remember, we are the Gentiles. He wanted to break down the dividing wall that was created by the hands of men. Did you hear that in the scripture read this morning? It was the created by men circumcision that set them apart, that created insiders and outsiders, the good people and the heathens. And God, through Jesus Christ, speaks to all humanity, every one of us, today when anti-Semitism is growing. God cries out, "Enough already." I have made you my children. You know how it is if you have kids and they're fighting and they're kind of hitting each other and they're kind of spitting at each other and they're just really messed up in their relationship with one another. And you as a mother or father say, "Enough already. You've had it." Well, I believe God is fed up with our brokenness that is created by the hands of men and women. The brokenness that tears the fabric of our society apart. The brokenness that causes us to turn our backs on one another when we need to be turning our faces toward each other and saying, "How can we serve you and all of humanity for the well-being and the common good of all who is created in my image?" Reading a little bit further in the Ephesian text, it says, "You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God." That's us, folks. We are a part of the household of God. So what does radical hospitality look like for this household of God? What is God asking us? And I'm serious about this. What is God asking us to pay attention to if we are to be a fruitful congregation, practicing the kind of love and kindness toward each other and those whom we do not know yet? Strangers who come to us, strangers who live in the surrounding neighborhood. Can you name a neighbor around this church? Let's take it a little more personal. Can you name the neighbor who lives next door to you? Is it possible the strangers we do not know might be a messenger from God to bring to us some good news, some new hope, some new possibility? What if we began with the supposition that the people around us are our guests and they are to be treated with coffee and blankets and grapes? What if we are to see these people walking up to the border as people whose feet are bleeding, dirty, people who are anxious? What if we greeted with them not with AK-47 or barbed wire, but with a towel and tub to wash their feet? Now, please hear me. I'm not trying to get into an immigration debate because I don't know what the answer is, but I do believe there'd be a different feeling among everyone from every side if we showed that kind of kindness and thoughtfulness toward them. Robert Snace, who wrote this little booklet, and you'll hear me referring to him throughout the next 5 weeks as writing a book on the principles of a fruitful congregation, today, radical hospitality, talks about vibrant and fruitful futures for congregations. I want to say to you before I go on and give a definition of what he thinks is important, that you already have many strengths. I don't want this to go to your head, but I want you to hear it with your heart. You do a great job of welcoming people into this building. You do a great job of helping people feel that this could be a place that they could be warmly cared about, loved about. You pray for people, both here in this place and beyond this place. The deacons, if there's a death in the church family, ask, "Can we bring some food in? Can we help you in some special way?" Those are all acts of hospitality. You're on your way. But let's think outside the box just a little bit and hear what Snace says about radical hospitality. He says, radical hospitality means that lives are rooted in Christ, and from that rootedness radiates into the lives of others. How might you see the neighbor that's walking down the street if you radiate Christ in your spirit, in your heart toward them? I really like the parsonage open area. And every morning, as Peg and I eat breakfast or lunch, I see people going and coming, and I've made a practice of praying a prayer for them. It's not a complicated prayer, just bless them on their journey. Already, I'm beginning to feel if I were going to be here longer, I'd want to get to know my neighbors. So I knew what was going on so I could pray for the special needs they might have. Snace goes on to write, radical means drastically different, out of the ordinary practice. People offer the absolute utmost of themselves, who exhibit a restlessness. Think about that. A restlessness and unsettling awareness of those who stand in the need of grace. They are genuinely curious about and interested in forming relationships with those outside of the faith community. And I would add, with those who come inside to join us on the faith journey. But remember, Abraham didn't wait to be greeted by the strangers, but he actually ran. He made haste. Every place he went, it reminds me of my great aunt, who was a great, great person in my life. She was one of my mentors. I miss her deeply and dearly. She was a wonderful woman. She lived next door. And so as a little kid running up, I could run right after her. She'd run to the chicken house. She'd run to the berry patch. She'd run to dig potatoes. I don't know if I ever really saw her walk from the back door any place. She even ran to pick up a spade and spaded a whole garden area in order to grow her favorite vegetables that she then shared with my brother, my sister, and me. Wow. What a gift. Snace writes, growing congregations say yes to ideas that declining congregations say no to. I am convinced you're not a declining congregation, and I'll tell you why in a minute. They are willing to do things that other congregations say no to, like spending prayerful, conversational, sensitive time to discern core values that will help us think more intentionally about who God asks us to be in this place outside where we live our lives day in and day out. Here it goes. Radical. Like launching Oakton Partnership in Learning that will welcome others and show grace to those who do not have affordable tutoring for educational equity. And what I want to offer here, that means we're going to have strangers coming to this building. It means maybe some won't respect this building in the way we respect this building. It means that we're reaching out to befriend someone that is different than we are. Could they be messengers of God to us? Strangers in our midst, will we be ready to hear a good news moment, a grace note that might come our way, or the opportunity we have to offer grace to them? I asked you, why is all of this important? Jesus in Matthew 25 made it crystal clear. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Why, I ask? Because today's scripture makes it crystal clear that God wants us to be one humanity, not divided by our own making, but in Jesus Christ, built into strangers no more. And in this place, we have become sisters and brothers now. Again, I ask why. Because if there ever was a time in our culture and the world when we need a greater awareness that we are one humanity, it is today. And it begins here with us. If Chloe Herr, if Mel Agley, Mel Stutzman, Edith Huber, Aunt Luella, Grandpa and Grandma, Mom and Dad would not have welcomed me and showed me kindness and helped me to know how to behave properly, sometimes not using the best ways of doing that, but helping me to know I was a valued person created in the image of God, and that my siblings were to be my friends and not my enemy to spar with. If Phil and Maralia Kessler and Cato and Margie Petrie would not have been radical mentors and supported me in the journey I was on to become a pastor, a fellow follower of Jesus Christ, and a servant of the Lord in ministry, I would not stand here before you today. Let us eat of the fruit of radical hospitality. And in our digestion, let it grow more radically, radiating forth from us the love and the grace of the living Christ who gave his life for all of us. Amen.